Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Podcast. Let's Talk Podcast is a Christian-centric platform where we have conversations through Christ's eyes. Let's Talk Podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network, and you can find Let's Talk Podcast on any podcast app that is favorite to you. It could be Spotify, it could be Google Podcasts, or any other platform. This morning, we get into episode number 64, and we are going through a series on the attributes of God. We have so far done two episodes, God's sovereignty and God's aseity, or the self-existence of God. This morning, we are looking at the holiness of God. Our God is a holy God. I can never do this alone. I never walk alone. In the studio, I'm joined with two gentlemen. By the way, my name is Makarodi. I'm joined with Stanley Kabuka, who is here. Stanley, how are you?
Well, Mark, thank you for the kind introduction.
Asante sana. Uko salama?
Niko salama. Uh-huh. Nice to see us again.
Thank you so much. On my left is our former guest. Nowadays, she's become a part of us. Laban, how are you?
Thank you so much, Mark. My name is Laban Musungu. Yeah. And I'm so grateful to have met such faithful brothers. Yeah, who are sojourning in this journey participating with God in this work.
Amen.
May God bear much fruit with this podcast.
That's our prayer. May God bear much fruit. And we pray that this will go east, west, north, and south. Guys, today we are looking at the holiness of God. Our God is a holy God. I think that is one of the attributes that sort of is known to every Christian. I think for you to be a Christian, I mean, even for those nominal Christians, they have something at least, you know, to do with the holiness of God. Is it an attribute that is known to all of us, the holiness of God?
I think definitely, I think most people in Christendom have heard of the holiness of God.
Yeah.
We also have movements, right?
Yeah.
Like holiness and repentance movements.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah.
It's a word that is quite ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It comes. That's the word of the day.
So yeah. It's actually something that is quite out there.
Yeah.
And most people have heard of it.
Mm.
Or have a partial understanding of what holiness means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually something that in Christendom, people have heard of what holiness
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps what it means could now be that where the rubber meets the road.
Ah,
yeah.
The meaning is where the rubber will meet the road. And this is not only specific to Christians. You realize that even other religions, apart from Christianity, sort of adore the holiness of God. Look at Islam, for example. Their lifestyle and everything. Their religion aspects of their lives are sort of, yeah. Yeah, Laban, what would you say of holiness? Is it an attribute that you had before coming to faith, or you came to faith then you're like, God is a holy God?
I think I had it way before. I was raised in a Christian home, so that's some of the first things that I was. Yeah, God is holy, you have to be holy. Uh-huh. Even Mahatma Gandhi says, I like your Christ, but uh-huh. not your Christians. He recognized that Christ had some moral perfection.
Uh-huh.
But now, as Christians, we weren't very good at emulating
mm-hmm.
him. So that people normally just know, equate holiness with doing what is right,
uh-huh.
Being holy. Walking with your arms together or wearing a cross, like you have to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an aura that is an unhealthy aura. It can be unhealthy sometimes
mm.
in which people attribute it to. But of course, we are here to demystify and to talk about this holiness.
Sure.
So I think I'll go straight to the definition.
Yeah, of, sure. Give us what the Bible says concerning holiness. Yeah.
So the Bible is very direct in
mm-hmm.
telling us to be holy. Leviticus 11:44,
mm-hmm.
1 Peter 1:16.
Sure,
let
sure.
me just fly to
safe flights.
Fly
yeah.
to Leviticus 11:44. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate
mm-hmm.
yourselves and be holy because I am holy.
Mm-hmm.
The God of all creation created everything, and when he finished it, he said it was good and perfect. Mm. And then he created man in his own image and likeness. But then man sinned. And when man sinned, God did something. He didn't just say, oh, okay, you sinned. Okay, so usirudie tena. No, he didn't say that. He said, what you have to be taken away from my presence, because that's where you start seeing the holiness of God come out. I think the Bible more define God's holiness in terms of what he has done and how he carries out himself with these people, rather than where we can go to our holiness. This is what it is. No, it's actually defined it how he has done. So he sets Adam out of the Garden of Eden, because God is, 1 John says, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. That's one of the very good definitions of holiness. So when he sends Adam out of the Garden of Eden, he doesn't stop there. As a good and loving father, he sets out a plan of salvation to redeem his people and bring him back. But this is a holy God. Like the way a drop of water evaporates in a volcano. That's how bad we are. That's how different from us he is. So holiness is that particular being set apart from us, such that Adam had to be sent out of the Garden of Eden. And when God wanted to redeem his people, he called Moses to bring the people of Israel back to himself. There's the whole book of Leviticus of just how they were going to consecrate. That's why he says in Leviticus 11:44, consecrate yourselves and be holy. Because how do an unholy people walk with a holy God? Wow, Leviticus. Just go through Leviticus of all the sacrifices that have to be made. So God is set apart from us, and he is transcendent and greatest, but at the root of holiness is a moral perfection, a moral perfection, a rightness of everything that he does, such that now we fallen human beings, deriving our fallenness from Adam, do not have that moral perfectness. We cannot be able to stand before a holy God. That's why we need a mediator. So the very acts of God show that he is holy, sets Adam out of the Garden of Eden, sets out this whole book. Actually, it's the Torah, Deuteronomy also, there are rules that how do an unholy people relate with a holy God? And then in the very end, sends his son Jesus Christ to be a mediator, God dying on the cross, just that some moral imperfect people can relate with a moral perfect God. That's some whole lot of separation that we have right there.
Wow. I mean, thank you, Laban. That's quite you've sort of, you know, taken the arrow and you've directly pointed to the heart and you've hit it right there. Thank you so much. Stan, what do you say concerning that? I mean, Laban has given us a good, you know, sort of start of that. And what would you add concerning the biblical meaning of holiness?
So holiness, as he has rightly said, means two things. Primarily that God is set apart, otherness of God, that God is set apart from all things, all creatures, because he is self-existent and sovereign, right? As we have looked at. So God is set apart from all things, right? So God is set apart from all things. And then that is the primary meaning of the holiness of God.
Set apart.
He is set apart. No, he is other from anything else.
He's in another league.
Yes, like he is unlike anything else. Right?
And the question is, who is like the Lord our God?
Yeah, who is like the Lord our God?
Psalm 73. Yeah, sure.
So that is the primary meaning of God's holiness, right? He is unlike anything else. Right, because anything else is created. Anything else derive itself from the one who is self-existent, as we have looked at. Right, so he is set apart, and number two, he is pure. He is morally pure. He is a holy God in his nature. That is, I think, what Sproul would call internal holiness, and then there is the external, where we see his actions being righteous, being right actions, in that he has no sin in himself. He cannot sin against us. Therefore, because God is holy, he is good. He is a great God, right? Wow. So even as we are trying to wrap our heads around God's sovereign election, we remember at the same time that he is holy. You know, he cannot commit a sin over any other or commit offend any other person. You see, so this attributes of God just come together in perfect harmony, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That will just cause awe and worship.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, guys, I've been listening to both of you, and it's so edifying. And talk of the moral perfection and him being set apart, you know, he's exalted over all people, and all that he does is right. Genesis 18:25 came into mind, and the word of God says that far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked. It's the last bit of it. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Like, God will always do what is right. And just look at this, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, I think. It talks of God, the Bible says that you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. God can't stand for even for a second. You know, he can't look sin for a second. And Isaiah chapter 59 says that it's because of our sins. You know, it's not like God's eyes are too dull or his hands too short. It's because of our sins. And you see, it's because of our sins that we were separated from him. But Laban put it clearly that he was sent out of the Garden of Eden. And God is so serious, such that he can't in any way whatsoever interact with sin. Hebrews 9:22 say that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. So that Christ will come and take our sin, and he will bleed and die because of that. I think that is how serious God is. Holy. I mean, he's set apart and he's morally perfect. He came here, lived in a world of sin, broken world, tempted in every way that we have been tempted and we will be tempted, yet without sin. Stan?
Yeah, and just hearing you talk about and making much of the holiness of God, just again just emphasizes the beauty of the gospel. You know, understanding that God made us to fellowship with him, but we sinned against the holy God, right?
Yeah.
And God is just, you know, in saying that he will not in no way acquit the guilty. He will not let the guilty go unpunished or scot-free.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And in seeing the holiness of God, we understand the gravity of our sin. That no single human being could atone for that which we did. That it had to be God himself who comes and atones for that. That is how God is holy.
Yeah,
and that is how grave our sin is.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So that the hymn writer would say, I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. You know, Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God.
Ah, God estranged from God. Wow,
I mean, it just, I don't know how to put it, but this is the beauty of the gospel. This is the beauty of the gospel.
Wow.
What God has done in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just the God, the Father and the Son, but also the Spirit in regenerating people who are dead, you know, and in applying that redemption on their lives, right? The gospel is beautiful.
Wow.
It is beautiful.
Wow, it is. It surely is. And Laban, I think it's because of a wrong view of holiness that we have Christians. Perhaps we don't really, you know, we've not really come to a biblical understanding of God's holiness and who God is in general, and that's why perhaps there's no cocoa growing in Ghana.
Yes, cocoa growing.
It doesn't affect us. Yeah. I mean, I think the holiness of God ought to affect us. But even as you think along those lines, there's this kind of holiness that is sort of without repentance, outward traps of religion, but no inward religion at all. What do you say concern that? Yeah?
Yeah, cocoa growing in Ghana. I love
but
house.
He actually explained how exactly. Cocoa growing in Ghana.
It started. He has already started the cocoa growing.
Yeah.
It's truly explain how holiness of God exemplifies the beauty of the gospel.
Wow.
And us understanding the holiness of God in isolation of the gospel is what leads to the different
attempts at
trying to,
and the cults that we have,
the legalism, yeah, the cultic, where people trust in themselves to attain the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they have such a small view of the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
When Isaiah 6 saw God, he was seated.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he was seated. You know, King Uzziah just died. King Uzziah was like one of the most technologically advanced kings in Israel. So when he died, people were like, what next?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was panicking. Even Isaiah was like, I'm a prophet, but hey, God, who's taking over? What's up? You know, the political instability that comes with taking over.
Yeah.
But when they saw God, he was seated.
Yeah.
And then the train of his robe filled the whole temple. And then there were seraphims, angels who were actually on fire. Like they're actually called seraphim because they're on fire. But they had to cover their eyes and their feet because God is so holy. They're in his presence, but they can't stand his holiness, so they're covering their eyes and their feet.
And there's something maybe Laban, Isaiah realizes as he sees God's holiness concerning himself.
That's actually where I was heading. I was just showing this, God is so holy. And then the angels were crying, holy. Like if the Jew, they repeated something twice. If it was very serious, they were like, verily, verily. You know, Jesus said, verily, verily. Yeah, or truly, truly. But when it was three times, that was like divine stuff. So there was holy, holy, holy. Like the highest form of holiness we attribute it to you.
Wow.
Then Isaiah saw all that and was like, woe unto me, for I am a sinner. Now he understood what exactly he was. He understood that nothing that he could do. And in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, he had been proclaiming God's word. He'd be like, you guys are sinners. And then he comes and stands God. And people understand how extreme, how big the holiness of God is. We'll truly understand that we can do nothing in and of ourselves to save ourselves. And that's why the beauty of the gospel comes in. God had to die to save us. The holiness of God is very, very, it's so hot. Like it's so that like God crushed his own son in order to redeem us. God doesn't wink at sin. He said that for a Christian, that sin that you easily give into, it costed the life of Christ. Look at the price that was paid before you give into the sin. Remember the words. They remember what Christ did for you in order to attain that salvation. That's what we need to remember when we study the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Isaiah, when he said woe unto me, and then we see the picture of the gospel that God brought a coal of fire and said, you're redeemed. Isaiah was, God was like, so whom will I send? Isaiah was like, me. Send me. The holiness of God leads to a proper repentance and a whole service of God. Like we give ourselves fully unto him. Once we understand that, worship, just how Stanley has explained. But then again, another reason how it affects Koko Kroy in Ghana, we want a holy God. You want a holy God. You want a sovereign God who's self-existent and he's holy because God does not wink at sin. That includes all the injustices that have happened, the Holocaust. God cannot look at what Hitler did and say, so I've forgiven it all. Imanda, what will the people, the genocide in Rwanda, the people who are still living together, who know this guy killed my family. Does God wink at that and be like, msamehe tu? God absorbed that cause. So we want a holy God who will punish sin, who will not look at sin, who will not look at all the corruption that is happening in our country, the corruption that is leading for people, poor people to lack food. And God does not look at that and be like, so it's okay, people will be okay. No, he doesn't do that. He's a holy God, and all that is despicable in his sight. And he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for it. So sin has to be punished. Sin will either be punished on the cross of Jesus Christ or in the flames of hell. So we want a holy God.
Wow, sin must be punished. Yeah. God doesn't wink at sin. I think
he doesn't
love that. You know,
he doesn't just
he hides his face from sin. And you see, Laban, I think even concerning that, you look at what happens on the cross. As soon as our sin was imputed on Christ, then there was for a moment an estrangement. You know, Christ was entrenched, you know, God estranged from God.
Yes.
Yeah. Because for a moment, and for a moment, Christ felt forsaken.
Actually, that was what was he was crying on the in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was like, God, if there's any other way for you to accomplish this, please do it. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't because he knew it was going to be painful or anything. Actually, Paul Washer says, there were so many people who have been persecuted for Christianity and they went there joyfully. Couldn't Christ, our Lord and Savior, have gone there joyfully? Mm-hmm. The reason why he was praying that was because he knew he was going to be estranged from God. Mm-hmm. God is so holy that he forsook his own begotten son so that sins could be punished on him and not... He had to forsake him. And Christ bled, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, just sweats of blood, because he knew he was going to be forsaken from his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the holiness of God. And when we understand it right here, it will, one, help us fight against sin more deep, more fiercely, but then again, trust in Christ, because we know it is God who had to die. So we'll be like, if God wanted us to die, then see, and got to up, and then we'd have just died. But it was God who had to die. So we don't go the legalistic way where we trust in our own reading of God's word, or our whitewashed activities, our whitewashed tombs. We trust in the saving power of the gospel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Stan, something to say as we head home?
Yeah, sure. Just to read Anna's prayer after God had blessed her with the child, Samuel.
Yeah.
He says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, there is none holy.
She says, sorry. It's okay.
No. I think it's okay. It was June the Pride Month? Was it?
No! Wow, Stan, did you have to bring that up? Okay.
So, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2.
Yeah.
There is none holy like the Lord,
yeah.
For there is none besides you, for there is no rock like our God. I think for me, as I share my parting shot, hopefully this time I'll share it once.
Yeah.
It's primarily what the holiness of God means.
Mm-hmm.
As Hannah says here, for there is none like the Lord, for there is none besides you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that calls every one of us to bow and worship.
Mm.
For there is none like our God. There is none besides him.
Mm.
Everything that has breath has to praise the Lord, for there is none besides him. And so when we when in the folly of our sin, we make up gods for ourselves, you know, be it our spouses, be it our phones, reputation, be it career, be it reputation, it's a grave infraction of God's law and his person also, because he alone is to be worshipped. He is holy. He alone is to be worshipped. He is set apart. There is none besides him. So this actually just calls us to worship the Lord. Just bow and worship him. Give him praise that is due his name. And at the last, every soul, every fiber of every soul will bow and worship the Lord.
Oh, Laban, what would be your parting shot?
Now, after that parting shot, what do you say? I think Psalm 50 and 51 are placed strategically because they are kind of related. Psalm 50 is the psalm where God, like, accuses Israel, and he says, you guys think I'm like you. You guys think you're like me. Like in 50 verse 21, these things you have done, and I kept silent because you thought I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and accuse you in your face. He calls out their sins. He said, you hate my instruction. You cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with the adulterers. Like he's like, you guys think I'm like you. This is actually what I will do because I am a holy God. I will rebuke you, I will kiss you to your face. Consider this, you forget God. I will tear you into pieces, and none will rescue you. And then 51 comes and we see the right response to our sin against a holy God. 51 is the penitential psalm that David has. And it's like some of the most deep and heartfelt prayers to God after someone sins, and David goes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Against you and only you have I sinned against." It's because he's holy and set apart from us. Any sin is against a holy triune. So there's no small sin, because there's no small God that you sin against. Anything. It doesn't mean now, oh, the way the LGBTQ community reason, if you have ever, I don't know, done this, then you can never do this. No. I sinned against God. I will confess. You've sinned against God. It doesn't matter. You're sinning against a God who is set apart from you so infinitely. That lie, that white lie, that it's and what you're supposed to have is what David think God through David presents to us, and he comes and says, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be white. Create in me a pure heart, O God." This shows the right response that we're supposed to have, but also the posture that we're supposed to have in terms of trusting in God for our cleansing. God's holiness leads to this understanding, and we pray that he may create it in my heart, in our hearts, and that our listener may even understand this also. And yeah, we may worship God just as Stanley has said. Parting shot.
Thank you.
Parting love.
Parting love. Well, I pray that the reality is that every time we experience the holiness of God, or we encounter the holiness of God, we fall into worship. Isaiah's, in the year King Uzziah died, that's what happened to Isaiah. We see Moses. I mean, we see John the Revelator. I mean, he sees the risen Christ. And man, this is not the guy that, you know, they were walking with him, riding on a donkey and everything. This is God. And he can't just withstand that but fall into worship. May that affect every bit of our lives, that we shall respond in worship and all that we do. Guys, thank you so much for being part of this.
Thank you.
And dear listener, we look forward to have you in the next part of the series as we journey through the attributes of God. And for now, we say
adios.
Adios.